Let's pray together. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I am now in my 40s, and as such, I have the distinct pleasure of being told there's something wrong with my body on a daily basis. My screens are filled with words like crow's feet, these guys right here, I guess, skin elasticity, and the ever-present reminder that I'm not turning into a unicorn, my hair is actually turning white. Who will save you from this body of death? Advertisers scream at me, holding out their serums and injections. And of course, I am not alone. Little boys are flooded with images of unachievable and dangerous muscle mass. Girls are pounded with videos of 0% body fat and thigh gap. New mothers watch their counterparts suck back into pre-pregnancy genes with the implication that if you just tried hard enough, this could be you. And I don't know where to begin when it comes to the abuse and even torture thrust upon fat people in the form of starvation diets and medical discrimination and workplace surveillance. None of this has to do with our wholeness or our well-being. We are being subjected to a form of body that creates the opportunity for businesses to make money. We're given a vision of our bodies that can be purchased from a company for the low, low price of $95 a month with shipping and tax. Your body matters. Bodies matter, and they matter a lot to God. They matter because our bodies are actually who we are. I just finished a novel, one that I loved actually, where human beings are consistently called meat suits. And at the end of the main character sloughs off his meat suit before he dons another one as an act of reincarnation. For Paul, for Christians, our meat suits are actually intrinsic to who we are, to our souls, inseparable from our feelings and beliefs and our sense and our intellect. It's all mixed together, all that stuff that's us, and all of it matters to God. In our adult ed reading group, we've been talking a lot about the subjection of bodies to the power of sin and death. Week after week, we have borne witness that the power of sin to turn bodies into sites of subjection and oppression. And the language we use for this is race. And each week we've read about how race isn't created by feelings or habits, but through structures that shape and mold bodies and lives into social and economic hierarchies. Our bodies are not neutral. We are formed by environments, constrained or freed or subjected to housing laws and legal decisions, physical borders, corporations. Our bodies, our racialized bodies, our aging bodies, our gendered bodies, these are formed by forces much larger than our individual action. And we are formed to participate in much larger and more nefarious structures of power. And so it's no wonder that when Paul is looking at this, he hears a cosmic struggle. And the language he uses for this is flesh and spirit. And we might be hearing in this, oh, that means that body stuff is bad and mind stuff is good. But the people of Paul's time would not have heard those binaries in the way that they have been handed down to us. Instead, Paul is talking about two different ways of life. One is a way of life that is like-minded with fleshy stuff where bodies get tangled up in this work of death. And the other is where bodies are like-minded with God, God stuff, Jesus stuff, and get caught up in the stuff that brings life. And Paul tells us that we can't get out of this situation on our own. The webs of violence and power are too thick for us to break away from. We just seem to get more and more tangled in it. And so instead, we're given a gift. We get to participate in new bodies, bodies constituted now by Jesus. Our mortal bodies are given life through the Spirit that dwells in us. How does this happen? Well, Paul says, "For God has done what the law, weakened by flesh, could not do, by sending his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. To deal with sin, he condemned sin in the flesh so that the just requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us." That was clear, right? No, that was not clear. Maybe a story will help. The rabbis tell the story of a prince who fell into a deep delusion about his identity. He became convinced he was not a person, he was a chicken. He believed this so much that he took off his clothes and sat under the table and ate only chicken food and clucked. His father and mother consulted all the physicians and counselors, but no one could change the situation. Finally, in desperation, the king and queen turned to this famous rabbi who was known for his wisdom, and the rabbi agreed to help. And the first thing he did is he took off all his clothes and he joined the prince sitting under the table. And he ate chicken food and he began to cluck. And the situation went on like that for a long time. Eventually, the rabbi said to the prince, "You know, chicken food is starting to get a little old. I think I'd like to eat something else. I think I'll have some human food. What about you?" The rabbi began to eat, and soon the prince joined him. Time passed as they sat naked under the table, clucking and eating human food. And one day the rabbi said, "I'm a bit cold here under the table. I think I'll put on a robe to keep warm. How about you?" He dressed, and eventually the prince put on a robe also, and time passed. Finally, the rabbi said, "It is so cramped under this table. I think I'll stand up and stretch. How about you?" And the prince said, "But I'm a chicken, and now I'm eating human food, and I'm wearing human clothes and talking. If I stand up, no one will know I'm a chicken." The rabbi answered, "You know you're a chicken, and I know you're a chicken, but no one else needs to know." We often talk in our tradition about being imitators of Christ. But in Romans, we learn that Jesus is an imitator of us. God's imitation of people is as we were meant to be. As bodies no longer subjected to, or as Paul says, enslaved to sin and death. We might imagine this like Jesus in a play where he's been assigned this particular role. He plays it all the way to the end, to the place where all human life eventually leads. He plays the role unto death. He is the rabbi who humiliates himself and is naked and clucking like a chicken, and in doing so, restores dignity to people. Paul is under no illusion that ourselves are somehow free or untouched below the surface of these cosmic powers. We are formed by cultures and economics, racialization, class, all the way down. These are powers that work upon us. And in the Christian life, these are powers that we admit that we cannot pull apart on our own. Instead, someone has to get under the table with us. Someone needs to love us enough to humiliate themselves so that we can finally see who we are. So that we can live as we were made to live. Not enslaved to the flesh, but free in the spirit. Amen.